Well, this morning, we're in Psalm 106 as we continue on through the Bible in the book of Psalms. And we have these praise songs here, these hallelujah songs. Hallelujah is praise the Lord, or praise ye the Lord. And we had in 104, we ended with praise the Lord. 105, praise the Lord. That was last week. And remember last week we were talking primarily about God's divine goodness, His faithfulness, and we were so thankful for all that He has done. Well, we continue on today. Today we have a beginning and we have the ending. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah, and the ending, hallelujah. It's kind of interesting. Psalm 106 is the end of the fourth book of Psalms, and book four starts with Psalm 90, and it starts off what? From everlasting to everlasting. And this psalm at the end of book four ends from everlasting to everlasting. So we've got praises and we've got the everlasting aspect. But today we've got a little different psalm here. We've got, I'm going to call it grace greater than sin, because we're going to be reminded of Israel's continual sin against the Lord all the way through, from the Exodus on through the wilderness march and thereafter. Kept turning against the Lord, turning against the Lord, turning against the Lord. And He is so filled with grace and mercy. And then I see myself there. I see the church there today. So as we look at this psalm, we want to joy in the forgiveness of Israel's sin, and we want to rejoice in the forgiveness of our sin, don't we? And so I couldn't pick a song to start with because I couldn't narrow it down to one, so I decided to put two together. So we're going to start off. This is continuing the hallelujahs, is this psalm, really. So we'll start off with a song which includes a couple of stanzas of sing hallelujah to the Lord, and then it goes right on into what I think is kind of the overall subject of this psalm, grace greater than our sin. So let's sing along, and you can sit if you want to. This morning, kind of hard to stand up. If you want to stand up, stand up. But let us just sing together here. And Father, I thank You we can gather. I thank You that we can gather, whether around tables or whether around a circle or whatever. Lord, You are always in our presence if we but open our hearts and minds to You. So we want to enter in now to a great, close relationship with You this morning. So may You be honored and glorified in this time together. We do thank You for Your grace. We thank You for giving our sins, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to the
grace of our loving Lord, grace that sees our sin.
whether to yell in joy or just cry. I mean, that's such a touching thing, the grace, isn't it? Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Well, as we look at 106, it's kind of entitled in my Bible, Joy in Forgiveness of Israel's Sin. And you know, we can take our place anywhere you see Israel as a believer for all the promises to Israel. And here's another place where I think we see Israel's sin, we see our sin. And there's nothing new under the sun. The same sins 3,000 years ago are the same sins today. And we may think we're living in tougher times. Well, in some cases, yes, but in many cases, not nearly as tough as the others had it, you know. But at any rate, not to go who's got the toughest, let's just look at what the word says. It begins with, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. So familiar phrase in the Psalms, but just think how packed that is with, are you doing that? Am I doing that? Am I really giving thanks to him? Am I really recognizing how good he is? And am I recognizing his mercy? His mercy that endures not for a season, not for a few years, but forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Or who can express the mighty acts of the Lord? Well, they're beyond that, aren't they? But we can tell some of the things. Who can declare all his praise? And we can, again, we can declare some of it, but where prayer is that we can declare all of his praise. Blessed are those who keep justice. Are you keeping justice? And he who does righteousness, not just a hearer, but a doer of righteousness at all times, went off the chart there a little bit, but most of the time, yes. But he who does justice at all times, or righteousness at all times, and then remember me, Lord. Oh, yes, remember me, Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. Oh, visit me with your salvation, and how he has done that, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may see the benefit of being yours. Do others see the benefit of being his as they look at our lives? Oh, I want what that person has as they look at you, I would pray, in terms of wanting the Lord, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation. Rejoice in the nation of Israel, rejoice in the body of Christ. That I may, what? Glory with your inheritance. That I may glory with your inheritance. Oh, I hope we are glorying in his inheritance, that he's given us what he has paid for us, right? Now we get into man's sin from here on out until the latter part of it, which is another prayer. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity or twistedness. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea. Which sea? The Red Sea. That's the first place they came to within 3 days or something like that, less than that. They came to the Red Sea right away. Now they're backed up against the Red Sea. They have nowhere to go. Pharaoh's coming at them with his new chariots. The whole army is after them, and they're dead in the water, so to speak. They've got Mount Pi-Hahiroth on one side and Migdol on the other, and they got the Red Sea behind them, and they got the whole Egyptian army coming against them. They are sunk. They're nowhere to go. And God miraculously opens up the sea. Miraculously opens up the sea, keeping the fire over them by night so they could walk all night long over that dry land in the middle of the sea, midst of the sea. And the cloud which they would have by day, God put between them and the Egyptians, so the Egyptians couldn't see them crossing, had to wait. What a miracle. Of course, this is one of the all-time miracles. And they experienced it. But we will see within 3 days of when they get across. Now, they'll have Moses' song and Miriam's tambourines, and everybody is, yeah, oh boy, this is, God is good, right? But then they're going to go 3 days without food and water. I don't know what going 3 days without food and water would be like, because I've never done it. But you wouldn't be in good shape. You wouldn't be a happy camper, would you? But here they rebel against God. Out 3 days after this fantastic miracle, and they turn on the Lord and rebel. But verse 8, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. And I look at my life, and I look at being saved, and it's really all him, isn't it? He's not saved any of us because of anything we've done. It's all because of his grace and his mercy. For his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up, and he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Think about the redeeming from the hand of the enemy that you just went through this last week. I mean, unbelievable how the enemy out there wants to snare you and get you. But here you are. He saved us, didn't he? He saved us from the enemy, redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. And here again, speaking of Israel, the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. So the waters parted and they walked across. And the Jews today don't want to believe that. Well, they think it's the Reed Sea, which is about 12 inches deep. Now you have to have a lot of faith to drown the whole Egyptian army with 12 inches of water, right? So forget that. There was a huge... We're talking about deep here. And when those walls come over, they bury the entire Egyptian army. We read here that the water covered their enemies. It didn't just come up to their knees. It covered them. There was not one of them left. Wow. Strongest army in the world. Gone. Then they believed his word and sang his praise. Now they're singing again. They're believing again. Does that remind me of myself? When I've got a great problem, then the Lord solves that problem, and all of a sudden I'm singing, and man, I'm so close to the Lord, and this thing I just went through, I thought it was so bad, and it just turned out to be so good. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, until the next test comes along, and then it's, where are you, Lord? I know 3 days ago you were here, but I've forgotten all about you now, right? That's the way we are, aren't we? That's the way Israel was. Verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Oh, how I tend to go to the flesh too often. Lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested. We don't want to be testing God everywhere, anywhere, but they tested him in the desert. In verse 15, well-known verse, but consider it carefully. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So are you stubborn, insisting on your way? It's not going to turn out well. Scripture says, sent leanness into their soul. 16, they envied Moses in the camp. We see, you think of Korah's rebellion and Dathan and Abiram. So when they envied Moses in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the faction of Abiram. There were also 250 that rebelled, and they ended up getting toasted. So they wanted to take part in the worship. They didn't think it was right for Moses and his brother Aaron to have all the priestly perks, they thought. They didn't know it was responsibilities. But these are things called by God. You don't just volunteer and take over. It doesn't go well. So this fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. Then we see they made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molded image. And listen to this. They changed the glory of God into an image of an ox that eats grass. Now, can you imagine man being so foolish to do something like that? Well, we don't do that anymore at all, do we? Still doing the same thing. We thumb our nose at the God who made us, and we will worship whatever thing we worship climate or we're worship whatever. They forgot their Savior who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea, they forgot. Therefore, God said that he would destroy them. And had Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach, he would have destroyed them, I guess, to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. But it doesn't end there. Then they despised the pleasant land, Kadesh Barnea. They did not believe his word. We're talking now a number of times, but one of the times was when the spies went out. They came back, you know, Joshua and Caleb had a great report. The other 10, no, and they got all freaked out. So because of unbelief, they spent 40 years in the wilderness march, complaining in their tents. They did not heed the word of the Lord. Therefore, he raised up his hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations and to scatter them in the land. So even after the 40-year wilderness march, and we know the Assyrian captivity, we know the Babylonian captivity, and we know that the Jews have been spread throughout the whole world, scattered to overthrow their descendants, to scatter them in the lands. Now back to Baal Peor, Balaam time. They joined themselves also to Baal Peor and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. And there were 24,000 killed in that plague, I believe. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened. Remember the Hebrew guy and the pagan woman went into the tent, and Phinehas took matters in his own hand, took a spear, went into the tent and threw them. Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. And that was accounted to him for righteousness. Over and over again, when we see people stand up and do what is right, God turns that into such a significant thing. We can think of so many things like that in the Bible. But here is one accounted to him for righteous to all generations forevermore. That's a permanent thing, isn't it? They angered him also at the water of strife, so it went ill with Moses. Now, this is the second time they came and wanted water. And so they came to Moses, and same old story. We wish we were back in Egypt. We're out here to die, and we want to go back and get, you know, we want to go back. Of course, Moses did the right thing. He prayed, but, you know, he's now almost 40 years in the wilderness march, and he's pretty well fed up with them, it seems. So God says, go speak to the rock, and you will receive water. And he went out, and he was representing God in a really an angry way, and he said, you rebels, strike the rock. Well, that's striking our Lord Jesus Christ the second time, isn't it? Because that rock was Christ. And so because of that ill behavior, Moses was unable to lead them into the promised land and fulfilling a type, because he's representing the law. The law cannot bring you in. The law can't save you. So it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. Verse 34, they did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles. So they didn't, in some cases where they wiped everybody out, it went really well. But where they left some of the people, then exactly what happened, God said happened, and that is the people would start to take the practices of the pagans, and they mix that in, and pretty soon you've gone. You've left the Lord, really, because now you're worshiping other gods. And it got so bad, so God had to use the Gentiles to proclaim the gospel, because the Jews disqualified themselves, really. And so we see the Assyrians take over Israel, the northern kingdom, 722 BC, I think, and then a little later on, the Babylonians, 605, and two more invasions took the southern kingdom and destroyed the temple and Jerusalem. And so now Israel is scattered all over the place, and we get people like Nebuchadnezzar, we get people like Daniel and others being raised up, and Cyrus, and God is proclaimed through the Gentiles and has been for 2,000 years now in what we call the church age. But now we return back. Nevertheless, verse 44, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant. That's you, for you and I as well. For our sake he remembers his covenant. And relented according to the multitude of his mercies. Wow. He relented according to the multitude of his mercies. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. And now we close in another prayer in these last two verses. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. So this is to Israel, so it's talking about among the Gentiles, but it's the same thing with you and I. Just put the pagans or the unbelievers in there instead of Gentiles, and you got it. Gather us together from among the unbelievers to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. From everlasting to everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting. As I mentioned earlier, that's how Psalm 90 begins, from everlasting to everlasting. And here we're ending this book four of Psalms, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. And then hallelujah, praise the Lord. So a little later we'll close with a blessing song, but let's go to prayer now and pray as you are led to pray. And we'll just do it all in one group. And then if we have trouble hearing, we can break in just the individual tables. But let's start anyway, just as we always do, just praying together. One group is led by the Spirit. Let us pray. So we're going to sing this song. The psalm ended as we would read, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, right? That's how this psalm ends. And so let us sing a blessing song here. If we might, blessed be the Lord God Almighty.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty words,
blessed be the Lord. Who reigns forevermore.
Oh, blessed be your name. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for always being present and meeting us wherever we are. We thank you for being here this morning, so close and so real. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for each brother and sister who's here. And may we continue in prayer. May we just be available for you today, Lord, whatever you might choose to do through us. We would recognize the open door that you have, the open doors are really. And then we would say, yes, yes. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.